Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Ryan.
You know who you are. If you're in here or you're watching and like you haven't read the Bible in like days, you know, what do you want? It doesn't work because you don't want to read the Bible in days. So you should be depressed for days. You cannot have life. You cannot say, oh, I want salvation. I want to go to heaven. But I don't want his word and I'm not going to hang out with him. Doesn't work like that because he's smarter than all of us. We're all, like most of us are parents in here or grandparents. We can't get played. They try to play us, but we've been around longer. The Ancient of Days has always existed. And we think that we should just have the fruits of the Spirit and the joy and all those things without time with them? Oh, I don't think so. You know when someone's playing you? Not being sincere with you, so does God. He just receive it. It's a big no. The Bible says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart. I mean, preach truth to people. Yeah, let me. How about, you know, there's times where he says, don't pray in the Bible. Start doing. I don't want to hear your prayers. I want you to start doing. You know, it's like people who ask you to, for prayer. They don't know the Lord. They don't walk with the Lord. You should tell them, yeah, I'll pray for you. But, you know, you need to get right with God. Amen. Yeah, you think your problems are all these other things. Your problem is you're not right with God. But they'll love you if you pray for them and not tell them that. It's when you tell them the truth, they will hate you. That's why they hated our Lord. Oops. He ruffled feathers. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is a beautiful statement. He basically says that, you know, we do not lose heart, but this is what we do. We renounce the hidden things of shame. You want to know what we should do as Christians? We should renounce the hidden things of shame. We are people who renounce sin. To renounce means to disown, to disclaim, to reject, to deny, to cast off. It means to declare that sin, out of here. I cast it away. It's not part of my life anymore. I don't do it. It's not enough just to love God. The Bible says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Psalm 97:10 says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Again, too many people take sin lightly. We talked about that. Not with God. He died for those sins. They're not little Mickey Mouse sins. They're huge. I look back in my old life. I have a disdain for the things I used to do because they almost led me to hell. You see what I mean? So I want to stay away from it as far as possible because I know what that leads to. I'm not dumb. I'm not the smartest tool, you know, sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm not dumb. I know what we used to do in the world, and I don't want to do those things anymore. It's over. I don't need it in my life. Why would I need that in my life? The drugs, the alcohol, the immorality, the sexual immorality. Why? I mean, we renounce. It's not enough to just say, yeah, we don't do those things no more. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. No, if you don't hate that sin, you're going to end up doing that sin again. Proclaim it. Hate it. Stay away from it. Jesus said, cut off your right hand, pluck out your eye. It'll destroy you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Kids, the Bible says, flee youthful lust. Don't play with it. Don't mess with it. Don't get near it. It kills. Those who practice sexual immorality shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It is an impossibility. Those who are born again, we are told, we do not sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, that means we do not practice it. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We keep ourselves in the Lord, walking with Christ, abiding with him, renouncing those hidden things that are shameful. Not playing with them, not laughing at the jokes, not thinking it's cute, not being entertained by those things. Can you watch a movie where there's adultery going on? A show? Remember the novelas? You know, the soap operas, all that madness. Yeah, you can get entertained by that, really? That should grieve our hearts. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 12, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. God is saying, you were once that, in darkness. God saved you out of that. I don't even want you talking about that stuff. Rather, expose it. That's renouncing. Too many Christians are playing with fire. Don't let it happen. Because it leads people to hell. It leads people to hell. And that's what Satan wants. Oh, it's not that bad. It's a little bump in the road. Or Christianese, oh, I fell. No, you didn't fall, nothing. You saw, you knew, you made arrangements, and you sinned purposely. Next, you can't get well unless you admit that you were wrong. Paul would say in Romans 13, 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Be holy, guys, for God is holy. The Apostle Paul here is basically, saying that he has renounced the hidden things. He's done with them. Shoot, I'm done with them. I don't want nothing. The Bible says even the appearance of evil is sin. Don't even do anything that looks like your old life. Whoa. Yeah, I can't go to certain places anymore. Maybe, no. To whom much is given, much is required. I don't go to certain places. And maybe some of you shouldn't either. You know, it's like we don't go to certain places, we don't do certain things, but now we go to certain places and now we do certain things for the Lord. He says here, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness. That craftiness is used to describe Satan, guys. How does the devil work? Crafty, sneaky, sneaky, deception, angel of light, right? It says, you know, that Paul's saying, we're not doing this. The false teachers are, craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You know, this is a very cool scripture and warning here. He's saying that we do not handle the word of God deceitfully. One of the most egregious, wicked sins that anyone can do is to use the word of God manipulative in a religiously manipulative way in order to deceive people. Woo-wee. We call it sword fighting in ministry because a lot of bad people know the word of God. Maybe they were raised in the church. You have to discern that. You have to know your Bible to know what's being twisted. Amen? Anyone remember our Lord, how he was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, yet without sin? Remember that? And how The devil knows scripture really, really good. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, the devil, it says, took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now, Satan here, can you imagine him trying to sword fight with our Lord? It ain't happening. That's why we study to show ourselves approved. As a pastor, I'm constantly reading the scriptures because I have to discern between good and evil. I have to hear somebody in counseling session and realize that this person is trying to feed me some baloney here, or this person is giving me the truth. I know all of the, thank God, after 24 years, God has given me discernment to know, you know, a lot of the tricks, man. Not that I cannot be tricked, but God is faithful who will do it, right? And so it's a blessing to say, no, you're twisting that. That ain't right. Here's what it says. Satan quoted one of the most amazing psalms in the Psalms, Psalm 91. It is a very beautiful psalm of God's divine protection and blessings upon those who love the Lord. In Psalm 91, verse 9, it says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." It is saying there is a divine protection for those who believe in God. You have this sovereignty of God, this defense. He's a shield. He's a buckler. He's a strong tower. Ain't nobody touching you without his permission. That's what that psalm's about. Satan says, "Well, since he's got you like that, why don't you throw yourself off the building?" It's incredible what he does. The wisdom of God is first pure and peaceable and willing to yield. When people share scripture with me, I look at the life more than I listen to the words. You feel me? I look at the life more than I do the words. Because words can just be words. Show me some fruit. You're all messed up trying to quote scripture to me. Okay. Follow me as I follow Christ. I did not call myself to this position. Christ did. And if Christ called me to this position, he'll make sure I don't get played too often. Does that make sense? It's a supernatural protection. It's a supernatural blessing. And I'll say this humbly. It is given to pastors. It is given to ministers. He says here, handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I love that. He's just saying, I have nothing to hide. He says, my conscience, he commends himself to the Corinthian church, his beloved brethren, nothing to hide. Conscience is clear before God, straight up. These other false teachers, they got everything to hide. And he has nothing to hide. That's how we should live. In sincerity and in truth. He says here in verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, remember Moses' face was covered with the veil and it blinded the children of Israel from seeing the reality that the glow was gone. So he's saying here, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so this is another beautiful statement. He says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whom the God of this world has blinded them. First of all, he's saying that it is veiled to those who are perishing. You know why this world is perishing? Because Satan has blinded their eyes so that they can't see the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth of Jesus Christ is that if you repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You will receive his Holy Spirit, and from that day on, you live for Christ, you're going to heaven. That's the only way. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. The world still buying the lie of Satan. They live for themselves. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What's the other one? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? When do I want to go? Where do I want to go? Whatever I want to do. My rights. My rights are I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to die. You're wrong. You can say you have rights all you want. You don't want to serve the Lord. Why not? There's only one reason why people do not come to the light, Jesus said. It's because they don't want the light. We love the light. That's why we're here. We come regularly. We love the light. Give me some light. The good, the bad, and the ugly, give it to me. The conviction, the judgment, the righteousness, give it to me, Lord. I need that light. I love that light. Amen. And they don't care about the light, but there's Christians who act just like them. I'll see you Christmas. I'm a good person. I believe. Parents, tell them, no, you do not believe. You believe the way the devils believe, but they don't worship him. We who believe worship Jesus. We follow Jesus. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. Let's be honest. Let's be real. I like to tell people to own what you are. What is so hard to own what you are? You don't want to be a Christian? Then go at it. Go be lost and party it up. Live, eat, and drink, for tomorrow you may die. This is all the heaven you're going to get. The testing ground is here. And the devil is lying to them. It's too hard to be holy. It's too hard to be pure. It's too hard to obey the Lord. Oh, difficult is the way, Satan, but the Holy Spirit gives us strength, and the load gets lightened with every step of obedience. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If it was that much of a weight, we'd all give up 20 years ago, but we're still here. Why? Because the whole ministry of the Holy Spirit does not die. It does not die. Satan has blinded their eyes to the reality that death is coming. Jesus said in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. He's saying that's why they don't come. Their deeds are evil. You know what I mean? God's not dumb. I know why I didn't come to the Lord before, you know, August 1999, because I wanted to live for myself. That's why I didn't come to the Lord. But he broke my heart. He convinced me and opened my eyes by his grace and mercy. And I realized, oh my gosh, I can be a different guy. I can be a one woman man. I can be what he's asking me to be by his strength. I can do that. Sign me up. Tears. Renouncing the old life. The world doesn't believe they can change, or they don't want to change. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The proverb says that for a crust of bread, a man will transgress. A crust of bread. Think about that. A crust of bread or heaven. And people are literally choosing a crust of bread rather than going to heaven. They're rolling the dice, believing the lie that says, you're not going to die if you eat of that fruit. He's a liar. They are going to die. It is veiled to those who are perishing. That's why Jesus did not come to condemn. The world's already condemned. He's basically saying, who wants to be saved from the judgment to come? And that's your job and my job now. Who wants to be saved? I love the story in Luke 16 of the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. and how Lazarus stood at the gate of this rich man, and the dogs would lick up his sores, and he was just hoping that he can get some food from the rich man. The rich man, we are told, lived sumptuously. And they both died in one day. Oh, I thought we don't die. We die. One day they're dead. And they're both in Hades, hell. And it was divided into two compartments. Abraham's bosom, where people were comforted and blessed. And the other side of Hades that was full of torment. And the rich man was there, and he can see across the gulf Abraham, and he can see Lazarus. And he said, "Father Abraham, can you send Lazarus to me so that he can stick his finger in water and just touch my tongue? I'm tormented in this fire." And he said, "No can do. In this life, you had your blessings and he had nothing. And now he's being comforted and you're not. Besides, there's a big gulf in between. No one can cross one side to the other." And then the rich man said, "Well, let me please go tell my brothers. I have five of them. I don't want them to come here. Hell is so bad that he is begging, please let me go back." And he said, "No, they have Moses and the prophets. All they have, in other words, they have this. And if they won't listen to this," he goes, no, "but if someone comes back from the dead, they'll surely believe." And Abraham said, "No, even if one were to rise from the dead, they will not believe. Jesus already rose from the dead. You have the message that gives life, and so do I. It's the gospel. It's that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and on the third day was risen. And if you put your faith in him, you shall be saved. And that includes your whole life now belongs to him. If your whole life does not belong to him, and you don't really believe in him, salvation style." And the world does not come because the veil is upon them. That's how tricky the devil is. You can get away with it. That's just a crazy messed up church you ran into. Go to the other one up the street. It's a little lighter. Yeah, they kind of jump around in the Bible from time to time and give you happy messages. Come on. Psh. Give it to me, Lord, you know? In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to kill and to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life, and that much more abundant." And so, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So then, what do we do for the lost, our family and friends? What do? Pray. Pray. Lord, remove the blinders from them. Lord, bind Satan so that they would see and come to their senses and make the right choice to follow you before it's too late. God, give us a love for the lost. That's where it's at. And so, verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." This is just such a beautiful thing. Here's the contrast between Paul and these fakers in Corinth, these false teachers. He says, "We don't preach ourselves." Like, this is about God. This isn't about Paul. It's about God. He says, "I don't preach myself, I preach God." And that's the job of a minister as well. That's a job of every Christian, that we preach to people Jesus, not ourselves. Jesus. It's his word. And when we honor that, if they have a problem with you, you know they have a problem with his word, not you. But we don't preach ourselves. So many people try to use scripture, Christianese, ministries to puff themselves up.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.